All right, you guys, today we're so excited because we have this month's guest. Give it up for Candace Kane.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Gorge. How are you?
Legendary.
I'm so good.
Showgirl.
Icon.
Actress. Activist. Gardener. I mean, I'm like learning. You're like an onion. You have so many layers.
Layers. Truly. Many, many layers.
Truly.
I'm like, would I miss anything? Gosh.
Definitely. Just like magician. You've done
magician.
It all.
No Gorge. Hi everyone, it's me, Violet Tchotchke.
And me, Got Mick.
And you're watching an extra special episode of
No Gorge.
But I think legend, I think, sums you up perfectly. Like, you're, when I think of a legend, I think of you.
Oh my God, thank
There's
you.
Like a, what is that it's called? So there's like a allure around you in the community, in the entertainment space. And you have a reputation, like a very fierce one.
Oh, yes.
Yay. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I remember, like, when I first started transitioning and, like, even exploring the idea of that, just, like, you Google trans icons and you come up, like, literally on Google. So even Google says so. It's not really our opinion.
Google's
it's,
always right.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet told us that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. I mean, it's been definitely just I've been able to live my life on my own terms for many, many years. And I'm so blessed that it worked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're trans, you never know.
Yeah, so. No, 100%. And especially like your career and your history and like when you started transitioning, you were truly the trailblazer and you had to stand your ground so much. Like, I just want to dive into all of that with you today. Okay. Like, I've like watched interviews of you and like we've hung out before and like you've told me so many crazy stories. And I just, we have to this day, like me and Violet are going out in the industry and having trouble like with pushback about transitioning and drag and gayness and just all of it across the board. So I can't even imagine like.
Yeah, it kind of feels like there's a weird backlash right now.
Yes.
And we were going up and going up and things were opening up. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, suddenly people are scared to put trans and drag content on because of Middle American fallback or
Absolutely.
Fallout.
We were on a really nice trajectory there. And it was, yeah. It was so nice.
It was so nice
there for a minute. And then I think maybe social media, I don't know what got them buzzing.
I don't know.
But it was outrage.
Either. It was outrageous.
Yes.
And drag bands and, you know, drag book reading suddenly became a hot topic
yeah.
It's been crazy.
You want our opinion on that? I don't know how to read.
Well, the
Books.
Good,
I
the
know
good
how to read
thing
a girl.
Is yeah. that drag queens and drag artists have dealt with this kind of diversity since the very beginning. And now the community has to fight again.
Again.
Because there was a while where it was real cushy.
Yeah.
And
we
the
got
trajectory,
too comfortable.
We got right. too comfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I grew up in Atlanta in the drag space. And a lot of the drag in the South is very pageant oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started hearing about you, it was because you were Miss Continental.
Oh, yes.
And oh, it yeah. was like, what year did you win Continental?
2001.
Oh, my.
Or, that's a fact. I want to see what the gowns were looking like in 2001.
Oh, I won it. God. And a week later, the World Trade Center came down.
Well, coincidence
and I was like,
or no?
Son of a bitch.
So you think those are related?
They've been trying to get me.
They have been setting you up since the start.
Sabotage.
You know, it's a cutthroat industry. It really is. My goodness.
Oh
no,
my
but
God.
Drag, I mean, you come from that world. Is that correct in saying that?
Yeah, well, I came from New York City. One woman show world where I, you know, if you were to make it in New York City back then, you had to be diverse enough where you had to like talk on stage, talk on the mic,
it's
you know,
so
create a show, have a full hour show that you would peddle to different club owners. And like you do three shows a week where it would be just you on stage, you know.
So, and there's like a mix involved, and they're talking. They go, hit it, and then the song starts.
Hit it.
The
song
starts. I love a hit,
so
hit it.
Hit
it. I love a talking
that
hit.
That is such a New York thing. It's, yeah, it's interesting that. How drag is regional like that.
Yeah, and performing it really regional. Is.
From where I'm from, it's like,
Cavalcade. There's one
We do outfit
host.
Changes. There's
outfit
one
changes.
Host. We
yes.
do a rotation, and that's the show.
Yes.
Don't. You don't talk
about
it.
Not everyone's a star,
exactly.
sweetheart.
Exactly. And they said
number and get off.
And they let me know that. They were like, you get $35 and two drink tickets,
oh
and you get
God.
To do your little burlesque.
Yeah.
They let me know. That's
totally.
Raised by wolves.
Raised by wolves.
That's what I say.
At hotmail.com.
Yes, all the Atlanta bitches.
Yeah, if you wanted to make it in the city, you had to do that. And yeah. if you were good enough, then you would book your own show and you'd build it from there. So, because there was no social media or anything like that. So you would have to just build by word of mouth. And hope people would come.
And this is, so if you went in 2001, Constance,
right.
so you're building this, we're talking early 90s?
So I moved to New York City in 91.
Oh.
And I got, I at 93, I was doing wig stock for the first time.
With Bunny.
With Bunny. Yeah.
93, that was like Lady Miss Kier. We're
yeah,
talking like.
Yeah, Kier was there.
Iconic. Rue.
When Supermodel had just come out.
My
oh
God.
My God. So
yes.
we guys all, the parties were crazy.
Yeah. I mean.
Were you like was, club kidding it up at this time?
Yes.
And tunnel and.
Tunnel to Limelight to like. To Palladium, to the
Palladium.
Really small bars during the week, like Sugar Babies and Salon and Beige. And like every night was a fierce party.
That's
you
like
had to
the
dress.
Fiercest time of life.
Life.
What do you mean? That's like
New York City in the 90s
glamour.
Was
it's
everything.
I mean, imagine yeah. partying in a fucking cathedral.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't handle it.
Like it's your wet
it.
Fantasy dream.
No, truly.
Like my being in a K-hole in a cathedral my, with lights is like,
no,
our
no, no.
fucking.
Everyone would be like, is got me a cocaine? And be like, he just does that. He does that. And I just stare that I'm in a cathedral
my
party.
My first gig was Michael Alec gave me my first gig.
Just talking about
I was just talking about Michael Alec because when he got out of prison, I got booked to host a party with him.
Uh-huh.
And everyone was like trying to be like, don't, he's a killer. And yeah. I was like, sorry, no tea. I have to.
I need to work.
I have to work, and I'm like, that's just yeah. crazy. And so I went.
No, we were talking about how James St. James. Obviously, we work for World of Wonder. We all know
yes.
him. It's just insane to me that even we get to sort of share space with such iconic and legendary
oh
people
gosh.
That have really like.
Yeah, we're like so lucky.
Done the thing.
So
like
cool.
I'm like, imagine if we were any younger. Like,
but
we
the
would
thing
miss
is,
everything.
The thing is that I didn't realize then that I realize now that you guys haven't realized yet. You are going to be having this same conversation in 20 years with another queen who is going to be like, oh my God, you guys were, you fucking did it. You're icons. You know, you were a part of this whole flow. I mean, as much as I love Rue, that's not going to go on for an hour. You guys are part of this 10-year time span.
The girls that are the
like
girls.
Like, we were in
the
90s.
Yeah,
yeah,
even, like,
so,
we've talked about how, like, kind of, I don't even know, season, like, 7?
I was the beginning of the end. In my
yeah.
opinion, like,
yeah.
after
it's
I
like,
won, it was downhill.
Like, there was this era where it was just, like, those girls were, like, Drag Race was everything,
yes.
honey. It was, like, they were stars, like
yeah.
getting off the plane, like attacked, like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know, it was so hard.
I know.
I know.
I know. But yeah, now it's just like they're pumping the divas out.
Yeah.
No, so, but I mean,
but when I won Miss Continental, I had done New York City drag. I had started my transition. I was in my full glam gorge, and people kept on saying, "You have to compete. You have to compete." And I was like, "I'm not really a competition girl. I'm a New York downtown girl." But I was like, "Okay, I'll do it," and I did it. And then
you did it one time and won,
you won
your
first
time.
I did not. I won my second time.
Oh
so
my
let's
God.
So let's just dance for a second.
No, Danielle Hunter won. And then I competed again and I won. And then I gave against. Erica Andrews.
Oh my God. Also another legend.
Another legend.
Oh my God.
Love her.
Amazing. Do you have like crazy pageant stories? I think you wrote in my book, which first of all, thank you so much
you
for doing. Candace wrote about competition in the industry because there's just such insane, like even within our community and the industry, it's like we just want to, I don't know. It's
well,
just
we've
crazy.
Been raised on such scarcity. Like mm-hmm. only certain girls get jobs and we only have so many jobs to go around. And
yeah.
so it's become like this whole scarcity mentality where it's
fighting
like
for a seat at the table.
If
yeah.
they're eating, then I'm not eating.
Exactly.
There's not enough
yeah.
food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sasha Colby wrote in it too. And she was talking about pageants and she was talking about how like
girls would steal like Mackie gowns and then like
put I've like, heard put shards in people's makeup powder.
Yeah.
Do you have any crazy stories like
crush,
that?
Crush
you,
a light bulb and put you, it Ken? In your powder.
My first year, there was a couple of girls, which I will not name, please, that gave me like so much grief and dirty looks and like killing, cunty. But then I was a New York girl and my gown wasn't like completely stoned. I had made a reflective material gown made. And so I walked out on stage. I was like,
icon,
you know, so everybody was in their gowns and I walked out and as soon as the light caught it in a certain way, my whole body was glowing. And it was just like,
that's fierce.
And I found a vintage at a thrift store, Yves Saint Laurent, a 1970s gold gown with sleeves that went down to there that had that like buckle, you know, and it's like almost gold lamé, but it was like that color gold. And I wore that for evening gown.
Amazing. Oh
my
God.
So I was I'm
like, you're a queen of my own heart. I'm a thrifting yes. God. I'm like, we have to go to the Goodwill right here.
Yeah. No over. One talks about it. 90s in New York City, thrifting was like the best time in the world. We'd be getting Poochies and Gucci and like Poochies people and no one wanted Fiorucci. That in the 90s. Fiorucci.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
I mean, you've lived such a... I'm just gagging. So I'm like, what were the club kid days like? And what like, did you ever see, like, what was Rue like and Bunny and Lady Kier and like...
Rue,
just...
when I first like was like in Wigstock and all that, Rue had just released Supermodel. So she was already just about to tour the world. It was like right there. It was just happening. So we knew each other for years. She came to my book opening and like... Yeah, it was just so amazing. And Bunny, Cure, all of them were, you know, just, we all did.
Lip Synca.
We would all go out to see each other to see what was going on the next day or the next week. So you couldn't like, I mean, nobody had home phones. Yeah, or,
you would have like a bar, a club. It was like your home.
Yeah. And so like the new girls were like Lena,
Diva,
yeah, me, Shasta Cola, Aphrodite, Mistress Formica, Sherry Vine,
yes,
and we were the girls.
That is love so. That. You and Lena are like my favorite.
I know, it's so amazing. I think when I like first got on Drag Race, I like. Lena was just so helpful to me. She just like took me in and just was the most positive ray of light ever. Amazing. And then seeing you guys and just like researching you guys and watching you guys' shows and performances together, I was like, that's what I want. So
I
bad.
Know. We're yeah. trying to so, recreate what yeah, you and Lena literally. Have. I'm like, you have to get the God. Move. It's you like got- this.
No,
like,
it's
you're
truly,
doing it wrong. Truly. Do it how Lena would do it.
I probably traumatized you. So,
oh, you oh, definitely that, did.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Well, oh my God, it was a traumatic experience
for
in general.
Everyone that doesn't know, Candace choreographed on Violet's season.
Well,
yeah.
Also,
of Drag
if you
Race.
Don't know, Candace is like a dancing diva. Like known in the industry as like a
you're actually,
dancer.
You're actually one of the, like the rare people I know that you're like truly so beyond talented at every single thing you do. You know, and it's God. Like you're like people are trying it and stretching it too thin. It's like just stick to dancing, girl, or like whatever. Right. It's like you truly like when you act, it's amazing. Like dance, it's Thank amazing. You. Like truly every.
Yeah, that's why I don't have an album out, because I know that I should carry a tune, but I'm not like a singer.
Well,
so.
Do you want to be on mine?
Yes! Oh my God!
I have a little metal album. You want to scream on it?
Yes.
Oh my God. I love you're doing a metal album.
Uh-huh. Featuring Candace Kane.
Oh my God, yeah.
It makes so much sense. Gardening, metal album. But yes, Candace was actually on... You were on Drag Race a few times, actually.
Yeah.
But you were on my season of Drag Race, and that's how we met.
That's
and
crazy.
It's actually funny because if you watch it, there's like a tension, would you call it?
There was a tension. Well, I also had an earpiece with them like, create tension,
of
create
course.
Tension.
Well, now
you know,
at the time, I take drag, and at the time especially, I was taking drag so seriously.
Yeah.
And I like... had never done it. I was like, oh, we're looking back. I'm like, oh, we were doing a TV show.
At the time, she's like, Candace hates me.
At the time, like,
oh my God, that's so horrifying that I just, yeah.
I was told you, I was raised by wolves. Like, in my mind, I'm like, no bitch is coming between me and my this fucking girl. Who is this random title. Fucking cunt on my telling me anything about anything? Oh, hell no. They're not going to get me. You're like, when you're on those, you're on the defense.
When that was over, I realized that for me, it was just like doing that and trying to teach lessons and teach the choreography. But for you guys, it's like, life or death.
Yeah, no, so I mean, it was
and it worked out.
Yeah, people just like forget that when you're in that moment. It's like, I was a makeup artist before and it was just like, I was constantly on TV. So I remember being on Drag Race and just being like, having to remind myself, even though it's like in my core that you're filming a TV show, like you just get so in it.
Well, this is our lives.
I'm like, well, it's not just like Violet's trying to cut me down. And so I have to do that. I'm like, girl, it's a TV show. Like, it's funny. Like, right into it.
No, I was 22 at the time. I had never, like, I'd only experienced life in a club, in a dressing room with wolves.
Right.
With wolves. And I was like, oh, this bitch is coming for me.
Right.
This bitch is trying to come for me. I'm from a bitch, not where I'm from. Yeah. I said, not going home. Wrong queen, like, mama.
Candace leaving set and sleeping gorgeously. And you being like,
you're like, Candace.
I print out a photo.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Hello. Look at this video we got of you.
Oh my God. That's funny. No. It's Drag Race is just so intense. And now I've been like a judge on the other side and with the earpiece, and I'm like, oh, this is, they're literally manufacturing, I would say 85, maybe 90%.
Oh, you're being generous.
It was fun. But it was fun doing it and being a part of Drag Race and judging one time. And
it was traumatic for us.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and being friends with Rue before too. That's probably so cute.
Yeah.
I love Rue. We get along so well. Oh my God. She makes me laugh so hard.
Well, Rue put me in one of her music videos along with Jasmine. A Little Bit of Love, and we're in outer space, and it's just the three of us. And,
she loves a crazy theme. It's never just like beauty, glamour. It's like, no, we're in a fucking movie mall set, and it's like this crazy Martian attack. Star booty, I'm a hooker, and I'm
in a spaceship. Yeah, no, it's good. It's all good. It's gorgeous. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to traumatize.
Oh, no. I mean, honey.
When I first met you after that, you were like, you know, like, I can't believe you did that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to like traumatize you.
Making Candace say sorry 8 times.
I know.
No, it's not even that big of a deal. I just remember, like, I really wanted to win, like, really bad.
And here's this bitch coming in between me and my title.
Yes. Basically, well, the narrative for me was like, oh, you're not talented enough. You can't sing, you can't dance, you can't act, you're just looks. And that's still the narrative. So fuck you guys. And so they were like playing into that narrative and doing that on purpose. And like pushing my buttons, and it worked.
Honey, it's a je ne sais quoi.
You either got it or you
ain't. You got it or you don't.
I know. And for the record, I'm more than just a beautiful body. I'm also a gorgeous face.
Here we go.
I know you can't relate to that.
Oh, I know. I'm just a body.
I was in the house the other day, and
this house.
There's just nothing. I'm supposed to move in like, I don't know, 6 days. Like, really soon. And it's a full construction site. Like, nothing is done. And it's also freezing right now.
Yeah.
Which I'm not.
We bought a space heater because we were, like, ripping out carpet. Candace, you would die. I'm like, ripping carpet like sand, and I was like, nothing more gender affirming than I've ever done in my life is at home.
Except like, yesterday you were wearing the craziest underwear and you were like hunched over, like sanding a wall, and this like heart cut out, like thongy, like Marco, like basically panties you were wearing. It's laundry day. I took a video of it.
You did?
Yes, you were hunched over and had like plumber's crack with the craziest panties showing. It was so funny. But
me being like, I'm so butch, and that's her view.
That's
right. Whatever, you can't win them all.
No, we're definitely being very butch, but I do. Well, first of all, I have anxiety about the house not being done. That's crazy.
Well, but congratulations. Like, that's so a huge exciting thing.
I know. Every time we have like little freakouts or like things are going on, I'm like, you have a house.
You have a
At
house.
At least you have a home. I'm homeless.
I'm going to have to. Do you know any wayward children that would like to board in a fucking closet under the stairs that I could charge some money for? It's like,
Yeah.
But oh it was God. It's crazy. But there's a gorgeous front yard area, uh-huh. and there's a bunch of like native plants. I believe they're native. I mean, they were there when I bought the house. So in my brain, they're native.
Well, I can't wait to see.
There's some gorgeous ones, and there's some that are not so gorgeous. And like, I have a couple house plants at my apartment now, and uh-huh. dead.
Yeah.
I got, when I first moved into this apartment, like, I think I did some, like, commercial or something, and the team, like, brought me a giant plant, and they're like, this is so easy to take care of. Bitch, somehow I killed that, and I, like, Googled it, and it's, like, impossible. And I did. I don't know what is wrong
with
me.
It's because you're
like,
just spooky like that.
The opposite of green thumb. I'm a red thumb.
Oh, my God.
I'm a rock.
Well, a lot of people don't know. I mean, there's simple ways to keep them alive, but you have to be, you know, consistent with an indoor plant. Like, you water it every 2 weeks, and you know every 2 weeks you water that plant if it's dry, and it's going to live. And
I don't even think I drink water that consistently.
Yeah, truly. Truly.
On the Patsy diet.
Oh, literally. Yeah.
We're always talking about that. I'm like, I think the only water I've drank all week is like the ice in my vodka soda melting. It's like,
yeah, true. That's our form of hydration.
So bad.
But you have a new gardening show coming out.
It is so. It's actually on the Advocate channel. We have 6 episodes out of 10 already.
Amazing.
Weekly on Fridays, Advocate channel. And it's Candace Cane's Secret Garden.
I love a secret garden.
A secret garden.
Have you always been a gardener?
I have always been into plants and, like, you know, gardening and from Maui and horticulture and all that kind of stuff. But when the pandemic hit, I had this kind of empty yard and I really wanted to make it beautiful, and I had nowhere to go, like we all did. Right. So I started creating a garden, and I started getting obsessed with collecting different species of aloe. There's like,
that's so specific.
Aloe. Yeah. There's like 700 aloe vera, species. Like for your skin. Yeah, there's 700 species of aloe. And I have like 160 now I've collected of all different sizes, shapes, trees. It's a pretty big garden. I live in Pasadena.
So it's not so
like
secret.
I live out there. So and one day it was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. I want to do a show about it. So my writing partner, Dana Davis, best friend, sister, we started a production company called Mary. It's Mary Productions.
Oh my God. Work. I yes. love that.
A businesswoman.
A business, yeah. Well, trying, you know.
Aren't we all?
Are we all trying? So we found somebody to produce it, and we found Jacqueline Chesson, who's an amazing filmmaker, and they're two ladies, two trans women, and we created the show, and now it's airing, and I'm super excited about it. Our premise is like Martha Stewart meets Pee Wee's Playhouse. Because I have a
that sounds amazing.
I have a cast of magical creatures. I have Mustafa, the Middle Eastern merman that lives in my pool. I have succulents.
Are they
the queen?
Are they imaginary or animated?
They're actors that we hired, so they're like in what? Around. Like
oh
while
my
I'm doing
God.
It.
This yeah. sounds incredible.
It's
are
really
you kidding
amazing.
Me?
It's really fun.
Oh my God. I feel like I could learn something and be entertained.
Exactly. That's what we're doing. So it's so fun.
I love that you picked up an amazing new life skill in the pandemic, and I just got a treadmill.
Yeah,
that I never used.
And not even a full size one. I was up in the attic. I was like, you're never going to be on that.
I got on it 10 times. It's just sitting at the new house.
It's insane.
No, I want to watch the show because I have the front yard. It's kind of intimidating me.
It
honestly.
Needs some TLC
well,
for sure.
Well, season 2, you guys are going to have to be on it.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes.
Because I started Please. To dabble in special guests, but it just happened. We filmed it in 3 weeks and we've been
Let's
working
go to the
on
nursery,
it. So,
honey.
Hello. And I do makeovers in it.
You can make over your garden.
So I will hopefully, if we start season 2 in time, I will do your garden.
Honey,
front,
I'm not touching that garden
not
until
doing
you
it.
Give me the green yeah. light, honey.
Exactly.
Well, whenever we walk around, I'm like, oh my God, look at this like purple, like spiky
That's
plant.
What I was telling her the other day. Because
we
was
just
like,
look at the aesthetics
like,
of the plant.
Yeah.
Kat Von D did like an all black garden one time. And I was like, Violet, that'd be so cool if you did like an all purple garden. Like
yeah.
violet garden.
Well, the Huntington Gardens are right by my house. And we will go and take a day trip there. And there's every every species, every type of plant, and we can like go through and I can help you like
mood board.
Yeah, mood board the garden.
That would be so much fun.
People don't realize how important their outside space is, especially now when you spend so much time alone. And
yes,
you know, it's really nice to be able to walk out and just be in this place where you feel zen, because the world, especially for Queens right now, is super toxic and angry. Yeah.
That's what I'm excited about. And I'm hoping that once I get into this space, it'll be like a sanctuary for me. I feel like I'm fucking Esmeralda. I'm like, sanctuary. Like, I need like a safe space. I can feel zen, because you're right. Like, everything. I'm like, it's just intense out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was even telling you, like, sometimes I can't, like, we like to go out a lot, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can tonight, babe. Like, I'm scared something might happen.
Yeah, she like, takes scared someone's gonna perceive her.
Yes, I'm like, someone's gonna say something crazy to me. I just don't want to risk it.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, I'm gonna be a stay at home queen.
I want to call ahead, get a full boundary set up. One can go. Like,
I'll be like, send me a video. I'm like, go and send me a video of what it looks like.
Someone will be like, come over to this house. It's so fun. And she'll like be like, send me a video of the vibes, and then I will decide.
Because I'm like,
I mean, we kind of have it lucky because we can go into a safe space. But I understand why people who are known don't want to go to clubs, and because it's a constant from the second you're there, you're talking and on and like answering questions and stuff. So sometimes it's nice just to just stay home and get a video.
I also am not good. Apparently, I'm not a good actress. But when someone says something to me, I can't hide my reaction. Like, I'm a very like honest person with like.
Now, do you go out in full glam?
I do sometimes when I'm
really
feeling it. She
actually surprisingly likes it more than I've ever seen. I'll be like, you want to go out? And she's like, yeah, I do.
I used to do it. Back before Drag Race, I was actually like borderline trans a little bit. Like,
dabbling
where I was in drag almost every day.
On the spectrum.
I was on the spectrum.
Well, yeah, no, she's my favorite. Sorry to interrupt, but she's
You want to be trans so bad.
No, she's my... Yeah, well, I do.
If I was, it'd be over for all you hosts. I'd be Candace Kane level artistry.
Not with those shoulders.
not
what if I would have transitioned in 2015? That was when my precipice.
Oh my gosh.
No, but she's like my favorite example of the spectrum, because I'm like, bitch, see, it is like a literal spectrum. You can wake up and just be like feeling more femme one day and wake up and feel more masculine today. You don't have to literally pick one.
And you know, and we know that all the time. We know between the three of us know the entire spectrum.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's existed before there was words for it.
Exactly. There were no words in the 90s. You were androgynous.
You're a freak.
Yeah, no, I feel like
there was androgynous. Yeah, there's androgyny.
I feel like there was like no words for it. And then you guys, like your generation of people, like fought really hard to like be able to have the power to like give labels.
I think social media.
But I think it's like reversing it now. Yeah. And people like are pretending they don't like labels, but then want to also be like subconsciously labeled so hard that they're creating all these wild things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we worked really hard to get it too far. Like, yeah, to be able to like proclaim like who we are and get the label. And now you guys don't want the labels. And then you're like in some weird 360 way. Like,
yeah, we've come full
labeling
circle back
yourself
around.
Still totally. At the end of the day. So it's so
weird. There's so many rules now.
It's crazy. Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. So.
That's why I stay home.
Yeah.
Right. Garden.
Garden.
Lady who gardens.
Because well, they're my rules.
Yes,
exactly.
My garden. Well, you guys, you'll redo her garden and I'll be the merman that lives in your pool.
Oh my God.
Next season.
Merman, Pop. Merman.
That's you can funny. Just be their merman, Mustafa's love interest.
Oh my God, a side storyline.
Yes. There's a new character addition.
That's everything.
Yeah, we introduced the love interest season 2.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's me.
I don't think I've ever seen you swim ever.
What?
No.
Really?
No.
I feel like we're always in like the
a jacuzzi. We're not swimming. Like,
well, when do you see people swim ever?
I swim when we were gonna crash the boat in Ibiza and I swam to the other boat.
Oh my God.
Are you not swimmers?
I'm a swimmer. I actually wrote that down to talk about on this podcast, which I guess we could talk about now. I don't get not swimming. Like, you just go. Like,
well, even when people are drowning.
Isn't that what swimming is? It's like just flailing about.
I I think some people just don't get the my mother was very like lessons.
Right. Really?
My mom was very strict, if you can imagine such a thing. Yeah. It's a strict upbringing.
I just feel like you just go in there. Yeah. And just like.
And so you didn't have lessons. You just learned how to swim.
I'm probably going to say no. And then my mom was like, you were in full lessons.
You definitely had lessons.
Have you seen those? I grew up in Maui. And so like you had to learn how to swim. And you had to learn how to understand the ocean or else.
You're a nature queen.
You are. That's amazing.
I am. No one ever thinks of me that way when they think I'm just
glamorama.
But what was, how was growing up in Maui? Like, what was that even like? And did you know, this is such a lame question, but.
Sasha?
What? Did you know Sasha? Did you know Sasha? I was going to say, what was your upbringing? When did you know that you maybe were different or trans or whatever?
Yeah, how's that in Maui?
What is the queer trans lineage like in Maui?
There weren't really words for, there weren't words for trans. So I knew I was supposed to be a girl, but I just was myself. Everyone told me I was a girl. Oh, right. You one boy or one girl?
Right.
You know, that was like what I got from 40-year-old men walking up to me at 7. Like, are you a boy or a girl? Right. Like, ew. Yeah.
Happens when you're a really, really pretty boy.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me.
Or as soon as we walked, there were people reacting to that, which really makes you think about your existence, your sexuality, yes. Mm-hmm. And if you're trans, your gender. And so suddenly when you're 7 or 10 or whatever, when most kids are on the schoolyard and playing a game.
Being normal,
we're thinking about these deep things.
Perceptions.
Which allows us as humans to be years beyond our age, evolved, you know. And so, yes, I knew when I was young, I knew I got harassed. I knew it was really difficult. But when I left Maui and I came back, I felt like I was an island girl. Right. And I understood the aloha more. And now you can't take that away from me, you know? When I left, I wanted to get out. I was 18. Just graduated high school and I was getting out.
I'm going to New York City.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to be a sugar girl. Okay, so you won Continental 2001.
Yes.
And then once you won Continental, did you tour around bars and gay clubs and do the circuit and
do
that?
Yeah, I did all
the
states,
thing.
All the preliminaries. 9/11 had just happened, so it was suddenly I lived through let's smoke on planes to
TSA everything.
TSA, take off your clothes, you know what I mean? Pat you down. And, you know, that was kind of crazy. I lived through Giuliani taking credit in New York. Like, we all knew he was an asshole. And now everyone realizes it. But yeah, I mean, it was an intense year and magical because I just won the biggest trans.
If you guys don't know, Continental is the diva, the doll of pageantry. Like, if you won Continental, you're it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they actually follow me, the Continental
pageantry system.
Yeah, the system. Yes. And sometimes they'll comment and be like, I think someone's ready for Continental.
I have an in, girl.
I need to get sponsors.
That's amazing.
And Mimi Marks is in Chicago, so it's right there.
I want to go watch Continental.
I know, I've never been. And I want every year, I'm like, I'm going this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's Continental time, and I find out the week off. I'm like, fuck my life.
Yeah, it's a Labor Day weekend.
They should just get booked in Chicago. Well, I guess probably everyone's trying to get a booking in Chicago that weekend. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's fucking there already taking it all booked. We have our own pageant.
Yeah.
No, I want to go just because I love gowns.
No, yeah. The gowns.
When I watch first night is always fun because it's 30 contestants, and so you get to see, it's long, but right. You get to see all their talents, all their gowns, all their swimsuits, and final night it's whittled down.
I want to be a judge because I want to be a judge so bad.
Did you hear that, Jim Flint?
Yeah, because
Jim Flint.
You would be a good judge
when
there.
I was growing up with the pageant girls, they'd be thread points deducted, they're The tights did not match the exact tone. Like, points deducted.
Yes,
like,
and now I am so lucky to get that.
Yeah, no, I just said that to you.
Yeah.
Best friend.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, and then after, I guess, the whirlwind of being Miss Continental, you were like, actress.
I was trying. There were no trans roles. It was only, you know, drag roles occasionally. And so my audition process would be going to these auditions with queens and, you know, trying to convince them that a trans woman would be better for the role.
Oh my God, you've been fighting.
I did a lot.
You did?
Yeah.
What was your first role that you got?
Big role was CSI.
Oh, my
where they flew
God.
Me.
So major.
It was like a Britney Spears kind of takeoff where she was a performer and it was supposed to be a drag queen. And I was like, it's better. And I went in and I did a full dance number for them.
Yes. That's how you got the gig.
That's how I got the gig. Yes. It was so fierce. And then they flew me to LA and I got the bug. I was just like, oh my God. But I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. I did this all on my own. You know, I did that. And then I auditioned for Dirty Sexy. And it was like, once that happened, everything was different, you know? Because I was like, oh, I auditioned in 06, I think.
Wow.
And it aired 07 and 08. So
like
it was
slaying
like.
Slaying it.
Yeah.
But you're
just
like the
kind
first
of,
one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
well,
just
I
saying
mean,
you are.
Well,
I don't know the
I'm
facts.
Just saying
I don't know the facts,
are.
But in my brain, you're like.
No Gorge facts. You
first,
are.
In No Gorge history, you yeah. are the first like trans actress pioneering the movement of inclusivity. Like
100%.
One well, of them, at least, I know for certain.
Right. I mean, but I was the first one that kind of got national recognition for being like on a on like being a character on a show for multiple episodes.
Yeah, you weren't just like the dead hooker in the street.
Exactly.
You had a narrative.
Exactly. Right. I mean, because, you know, like Alexandria Billings was auditioning at that time. Laverne was starting to audition, you know, and so it was like one of us was bound, like I, you know, it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it just, it happened to be like a really good role with thoughtful writing that allowed, I was only supposed to be on for 2 episodes.
Wow. Obsessed.
But they were obsessed.
Possessed.
I'm like, did you dance in that one too? Is that, yeah. Is that like, CSI. We gotta have her dance some more, babe.
Yeah.
I was playing opposite Billy Baldwin, who was my love interest.
Ooh.
And it kind of turned out, I mean, there was like Donald Sutherland on the show and like, you know, all these amazing people. But it turned out that the audience really liked our love story. They did like a full like whatchamacallit where they tested the an audience like and I tested really high.
Oh, where they like bring them in and they watch the show like
yeah,
a review?
Like,
what's it called? Because
they didn't know about trans and we've only hired cis women for trans parts or cis men
for
trans parts. And so,
what are your thoughts on that? Cis men playing a trans woman.
Or any of that, like vice versa too. Because I remember Scarlett Johansson got cast in that role and everyone like freaked out.
Yes, and then they chopped her.
I don't really
listen. I there's such few trans parts and so many really good trans actors.
Yeah.
That it should automatically go to a trans person. When you're at the bottom of the totem pole and we are as a community, and it just shows right now how we can't go pee in 10 states.
That's insane.
You know what I mean?
You're still legally allowed to get murdered in some states.
Yes.
In self-defense. It's crazy.
It's really crazy. So yeah, no, these parts should not be played by cishet people.
Yeah. Like for instance, I really, really loved The Danish Girl. It moved me to pieces, but it
amazing.
There was something that really bothered me about it not being cast to one of, I mean, I have so many friends who are actresses. I'm like, Hari Neff could have done that.
I
like,
know.
Come on. Like,
right.
It would have been, it was such a beautifully produced film. And I don't want to say it takes away, but it just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That it wasn't
it
a trans.
Away, to some degree.
None of those movies I was even
called for
on none of those auditions. And I know I might have been a different part or older or whatever, you know, but there was a whole like, When I auditioned and I got on Dirty Sexy, no one knew what to do with me. I tried to get an agent. I had one of the top three agencies tell me that they couldn't take me on because their other clients wouldn't understand taking on a trans person.
What?
I mean, it was like suddenly I was famous. I was number two on IMDb at one point.
Wow. Oh my God.
And then, but I couldn't get an agent.
Mm-hmm. And we're experiencing it now. And it's just like, it's, I think it is like what we were talking about earlier, how there's like a resurgence of, we were going on this great trajectory and now there's a pushback.
There's a stop.
Yeah.
There's a pause.
It's very
pause.
Yeah.
And we're all here like,
Ready to go.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Don't start concerning my way. Yeah. And I was talking to Mick. I was like, oh, there's not enough room at the table. Well, we'll just see who eats, won't we? We'll see who gets nourishment. We're going to show them.
You're like,
call Oprah.
No, it's really crazy too, because I think like even now they're like,
oh, truly,
the agents are trying to like figure it out again in a weird way. And
I've been
at some weird meetings where they're like, but because you're a trans guy that does femme drag, you have this like Gen Z angle that we can like work with. And I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah, we have to milk. I'm like, I'm gender fluid.
They don't
we have to like.
They don't even know what it is. So they're trying to like figure it out too. Now it's like this new thing. I don't know.
There's so many. I'm not even going to name names. But there are so many guys in the industry that the huge, huge, huge guys.
Trendy
in the
chasers.
No.
Oh. That too, though.
That too.
No, like directors and things that like have been, you know, promised me the world, parts, and you know, and that just kind of, it's all just like
pitter patter away.
It happens.
I've been saying it's like we have to get it ourselves.
Yeah,
we 100%. You have to do it yourself.
Which that's why exactly I love your auditioning story. It's like literally that's what you have to do.
You have to go and be like,
hello, it's me. We're here. This is what I do. Get into it or get lost.
It sounds like that's exactly what you had to do.
When you got your roles and even just in life, like how did everyone in the production actually treat you? Was everyone like treating you with like respect, or was it very like, oh God, this is our like diversity hire coming in, everyone? Like, Gird your loins.
I don't even know if diversity hire was a term even back then.
The first episode, I talk a little bit about this in Disclosure, but
oh my God, Disclosure was
you were so good. If you guys haven't seen Candace in Disclosure
on Netflix, it's such an important conversation that you guys were having.
Sobbing.
On that.
It was
a limited series or a documentary?
It was a documentary.
It was a documentary.
Yeah.
So amazing.
I was talking about this first time that I was like in Hollywood and I had done this part and they had tried to, you know, they wanted to do the trope of like the before picture of me. And I'm like, I don't have before pictures of me.
Burned them all.
Oh my God. They lined up a lineup of extras that were just there doing background. And they said, okay, this is going to be the before. And so they like said to one guy, oh, you would be perfect. And he's like, no, I'm not going to lend my face to her.
Oh,
and the director was like, well, then you can leave my set. Oh, fierce. And it was the first time in so long that I'd felt like I had an ally. Yeah. Because you're in this and you're alone and people are misgendering you and like doing all this stuff, but you're like, and I'm meeting with the producer and the writer because like I got drowned in a toilet, yes, but I originally was going to be drowned standing up to pee. And I said, no, we wouldn't do that. So can we change it? And they're like, sure, you'll drown in a toilet. A toilet. Get a little swirl in.
Good for you.
But that's true. People, I think, when they write trans roles, it's like you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's such a nuanced life experience
from childhood. Have all these trans writers, including myself, that can do these parts justice. But, you know, back then it was the Wild Wild West, and that was only 15 years ago.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Time is just flying by. B.
15
years. But that's so important. Oh, yeah. It's a long time.
No, God, now.
No. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know. Well, that's amazing. Literally, truly, to this day, even I'll like go on any set and it's almost like they're scared to like say anything. They're like, I'm like, it's okay, girl. Just keep it trucking. I'm here to do it.
Transparent was really kind of cool. I only did one day on
it.
But it was like, it was so like, It was a loving, maybe too loving sometimes.
That's what I heard.
But yeah, but I did that with narrative, because
it was written by trans people. You can tell it. There's like a realness to it. It's like, right. This is maybe an actual real scenario that would happen. It's not a dramatization. Like, this is like what it would be like as with your family, as a family member of this person, and the relationships. And Trace Lissette in that show, I was sobbing for her episode.
She's amazing.
And that show, Transparent, was impactful for me. I mean, even me being like, whatever, gender fluid, whatever you want to call it, a drag queen. It's like, it's there's a similar experience of being, having your family feel a certain way about you and how they're going to react and growing up and the experience and the flashbacks and the flash forwards. And it was an important show for me. I know a lot of my trans friends as well. And so it's so important to have trans writers behind the scenes in front of the camera as well.
Yeah. And we're getting there. I think everybody in the industry knows now, if you will have a trans story, there has to be trans writers on, you know, in the writing staff. Room.
Wow. I can't wait for you to get your little trans narrative scripted moment.
I know. I was just telling Violet today. I was like, I think I want to get into that a little bit. Like, I would love to take this like trans, like, I just would love to play up, not play up, but I would love to like lean into this trans guy moment a little bit more. Like before, when I started drag, I was just like, did drag because it was kind of just an easy way to put all my artistry in one place, and I wasn't on hormones or anything, so it was just like whatever. And then now that I can like fully like grow a beard and like have the body and like all this stuff, I'm like, well, I'm pissed I have to shave today. Like, I've never gotten to like grow out my facial hair and like work out at the gym and like turn it, because I'm like, well, I work full-time as a woman.
No, it's so funny.
I'm pissed.
The favorite joke you've ever said to me is like, well, I can't even have a guy over. What am I going to say? Oh, don't mind me. That's for when I dress up as a girl.
Oh, yeah. Like when I have like trade over or something, there's a wig. I'm like, don't mind my crazy roommate. Yeah. She's crazy.
She's a crazy lady.
Or like, what else am I supposed to say? Be honest and be like, don't mind my wigs. That's just, you know, when I dress up like a girl during the day. Like, psycho. They're going to be like, ew. Well, like, because I'm already like 90% of the time, like, their first trans experience. Yeah. And like, it's like a moment for like, they're already freaking out or something. And then I have like dresses. I'm like, sorry, I didn't mind the archive. Like, girl, he's going to run for the hills.
What is your type?
Oh my gosh. You know, anything.
We were just talking
about
this. You don't have one.
I'm pretty open. I always say, actually, when I transitioned, I started identifying as pansexual because I was just, I mean, I've only really been with guys for the most part. And then I transitioned and I was like, who am I to like fully cut off a gender? It's so crazy to me, because I'm like, someone, there's like people out there that would just like cut off dating me and they could be like my soulmate just because of like how I was born. And then who am I to be like, I connect with like a girl one day or something and I'm like, no, sorry. Like, no. Like,
I connect with a girl one day or something.
That's how I think.
There's hope out there, ladies.
You never know. So I'm just like, I identify that way. But I think I'm very pansexual. So I just need them to be a gorgeous artist or something. I like to they have to have a job. I have to love what they do. And they have to be funny.
There's
like
a guy recently that came into your life, actually, that you, I think, have a huge crush on. Yes, we have to talk about it. There is a guy, he's an artist. You like his art. And he turned you out, apparently.
Oh, wow.
And he's been and Mick brought him to the bar to meet me. And he's never done that to any other man ever. It's getting serious.
No, it's not. It's not serious.
That is serious for
you.
What
about you? I didn't have this white face, but I'd be blushing.
What is your type?
I like Latino men a lot.
She's a dick lover.
Yeah, basically, if you get hard for me, I'm good.
Which is an issue a lot of times from what I've heard.
I can be very intimidating. I can be very intimidating. No, I mean, right now I'm in house mode. Like, the only thing, I don't give a fuck about anybody or anything. I'm just like, let me get my sanctuary up and running. And if you build it, they will come. Yeah. Hopefully a lot.
If you build it, they'll come.
I'm dead. No, I'm not worried about men right now at all. Not my focus.
What's your type?
You're like rich.
Truly.
Yeah, at this point, I've always like gone for guys that just because like they're hot. But like I realize that's how I am. No.
I'm using that one. Really? Because I was like, that's what I usually do too. It doesn't work out.
No, it doesn't work out. I make my own living, so I don't need a rich man. Right. But But yeah, no, I have a couple of lovers.
Ooh. See, that's the level I want
to
be.
It's the way to go.
It's good.
It's the way to go.
A couple times a month, I have nights and, you know, full like dinner and like jacuzzi.
See, you're
and
the goal.
We, like,
love a jacuzzi.
Movie
you're
and,
the goal.
Like, yeah, and you have a gorgeous night, and then they leave, and then you can sleep.
Yes! Yes,
that is the issue, too. I think even if I fully get married, I'm like, we have different bedrooms.
Totally.
Right? Like, half.
For
different
sure.
houses. You're in the guest house, babe. Yes. Like, get in the back.
Yeah. I would rather have, like, two or three nights a month where it's, like, full, intense, like, connection with someone than a bunch of, like, get in your way. You know,
like, oh, yeah. He's
farting,
here in the
breathing.
Morning making coffee. Like, oh.
Well, I have to go. And then the worst is when you say you have to go and they're like, okay, I'll see you soon. And they want to stay or something. I'm like, that was
like,
you, my
like,
vibe to get you out.
Yeah.
No, that's like my therapist. I just got a therapist and he's like, what's your, like, where do you see yourself? And I'm like, gorgeous house, gorgeous career, multiple lovers in my bed. Like, I'm like, Candace is living what I just told my therapist the other, my goals. I'm like, okay, all I'm missing is the garden.
Yeah, truly. How has like dating as a trans person been for you? Have you ever like, because I know personally right now, I know. I
can
like,
you
right
actually
now,
help
I,
Nick?
I need
like,
I like,
go ahead and ask Candace all the trans shit because
I truly,
talk, I'm like, babe, I don't know what
to
tell you.
I know everyone I was telling Candace before, like she obviously icon of life and we're friends, but I was like, we need Candace on literally in a week or I will die because I was just going through it and Violet, like,
I try to help as much as I can.
As she can, but it's just like, she doesn't get it. So she was like, we need some trans
and
angels.
Like,
I'm like,
some,
Candace is an icon. Like,
maybe somebody who has some experience with this stuff.
I don't know. I think I'm like such like an overthinker in my life. And I just, like, when I'm dating someone, I'm like, okay, are they just like wanting that one like experience or like something? So I'm overthinking that. And then also even with like surgeries and stuff, I'm like, oh, I need all this stuff and I need to like have like bottom surgery or I won't be happy. And then I like sit back and think about it. I'm like, is society telling me that I need all these things and to treat men like this and think this way? Or am I actually feeling that? And it's so hard to navigate. And I keep going back and forth and I just end up in a breakdown. It's crazy.
You know, it's like there's so many mixed messages. And for us, there's really no playbook. So we don't have some, like, you know, something saying, oh, you should be doing this now. You should do that. You have to just go on your feeling. Meeting people is hard as it is. And then you add the transness of it all in there. And there is this societal kind of like pressure on the people that are transamorous to not be open about who they are. And that's
a shame.
Yeah. Yes. And so that is just going to be something a cross we bear for the rest of our lives.
100%.
And it's same with drag, though.
There
I mean,
it's not the exact same, but there are parallels.
It's not the same thing.
I mean, there's an internalized homophobia within the gay community, and I hide
100%.
The drag. And like, it's hard for me. I'm like, I'm fucking there's one of the most famous cross-dressers in the world. Like, how? And they're like, oh, you like do that? I'm like, yeah,
there's just like an
I
internalized
do.
Misogyny across the board for everything. Like, I think it's hard for a lot of trans guys to break in the industry because, like, you're assigned female at birth and so you're just kind of like taught to be quiet and because you're like raised female and so it's just like taught all these like misogynistic ways and then you can grow a beard and they're just like, oh, I'm stealth, like, period, get me out of here and live my life. And then I think trans women get like enter this space and then all of a sudden are just like being hit with this misogyny so hard and it's just and
it's
in
all
drag,
interconnected.
And then in drag, it's like within the community. It's like this is the craziest, like,
oh my
internalized
God,
homophobia.
I mean, I even have
and,
it.
Like,
when I see a guy with painted nails, I'm like, no, sissy.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and I'm, like, this. I'm, like I'm like, wait a second. I'm doing the thing that they do to me.
Yeah.
Fuck, it got me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it got
society.
Me.
Like,
it's crazy. And yeah, navigating it is just like you said, it's just like there's no playbook. And that's why it's so hard sometimes because I'm like, there is no one. I mean, of course I can call you or like whatever, but it's just like, there's no answer.
But I guess the question I have is like, has there been moments in your life where you felt just like so
defeated,
broken, like because of these things that come up or did something triggers you and you're just like,
it's
how
over.
Do I keep going,
right?
And then what does that, I mean, when I ask people this question all the time for me, and usually the answer is like, you just ride the wave, you just ride it down,
you give yourself you, 2 days
2 days
and you do it.
Yeah,
you eat what you want to eat. You like
order the Panera.
Do what you want. For me, it was always, I was raised with really open, amazing parents and an amazing family. So that helped. I always felt like there was wind on my back instead of on my face. So I was able to like put that whole drama behind me. And I know there's so many trans people that don't have that. Right. So they need their friends and they need their community to help them. But I was raised by my parents with just kind of an idea that like you are perfect the way you are. And so you have to like, we all get depressed. We all wanted that fucking gig so bad. Right. There's been so many times that I've auditioned or I've broken up with someone or I've loved someone that hasn't loved me back, that like, you know, you have to be able to live in that moment just long enough to where you can come out and say, I'm fucking amazing afterwards and move on. Yes. And rely. I have friends and I call friends where I'm like, I need to talk. This fucking shit happened. And, you know, especially now.
Trauma dump.
You have to have friends that you can trauma dump to you, too.
Sweetie. Yeah.
That don't use it back when I'm teasing. No, but
well,
yeah.
I got a few friends that I'm like, maybe no more trauma dumping for you. Yeah. Like, maybe I won't trauma dump on you.
I just want to say that, like, the life that we were given is not for the faint of heart, but that also entitles us to really take on the magical being epithet, you know, and who we are is rare and needed in this world. You can be depressed and things are not going to work out all the time. And especially if you're trans, things don't work out a lot. But if you're honest with yourself and the people around you and you're truly who you are, things will work out. You'll be okay. You know, that's my only
thing. I believe that. I'm a Gemini, so I really believe in like the yin and yang duality and the positive and the negative. And it's like the negative of us having like, I'm a fucking fetish cross-dresser. I picked the like craziest profession and life and like aesthetic, even like I'm not marketable, like just crazy. Same with you, you're like a demonic trans, like it's just like we picked like the most gnarly ones, but there is the flip side of that, that we do get these special unique moments where there is that like magicalness to it that you were speaking
and
about,
and you're original and magical, and it's you look back, you will look back in 30 years from now and just be just like in awe and wonder at how strong you were.
Oh God, I hope so. We're like, hopefully make it that long. Yeah. No, we will. I just, like I said, I was going to therapy and I think someone told me, you want to make 7-year-old you proud? And you told me this. Okay,
God,
so you're
that.
My therapist. This is my therapist. Yes. And 70-year-old you proud.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so now I'm working on, I think 7-year-old, he's got enough. He's fine. Like, you're proud.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. And like being able to realize that like without those moments of darkness, like you won't be able to realize how, like the moments of light.
Yeah.
The yin and yang, honey, it's like your little outfit. You got to have the black and the white.
I know, it's right in front of my face, literally on my face.
Yeah, it's literally on your face.
At all times. That's hilarious.
Well, that's what I've been preaching and praying and saying.
I know. Oh, that's so great. Well, I'm so happy to have you here because that's like so needed. And I'm sure so many people out there listening to this podcast
and
needed
really
that as well.
Really call me, seriously.
I will.
If you need a trans whisper in your ear.
I always do. Having you on the podcast, I'm like, this is like the wig sock divas. Like, I'm like, this is just so crazy.
I know. Those documentaries are so amazing because we were like in our 20s when all that was happening. Yes. So we were
the height of it all.
New York nightlife, and those girls were like doing
running around,
and yeah,
Steven Meisel in the streets, honey, naked, black and white.
Yes, oh my
new
god,
glare.
But I just feel like that's why I saw you at the new glare exhibit. After that's when I attacked you about attacking me.
He asked me and Lena to come to his showroom in Paris, and we went. And he was like, "These are my archives. Go ahead and look."
Oh my god!
I know.
What?
We got to the hotel room, and there was 100 Longstem red roses on our bed. And we walked in, and we were like, "Oh my god!" And we went, and we hung out, and we walked into his couturier, and there was all these women in white pinning things on things.
Oh my god, it gets me off.
We're gonna go later to dinner or something, but you can go and hang out in our showroom. Feel free to try stuff on if you want. And so we like sat and we were watching like old, like all his old shows, and we were like trying clothes
from the archive.
Yes.
Oh my god!
And then he gave me,
girls, like, just living. That's so fun.
And then he gave me a pair of heels that Diana Ross wore
on the runway.
On the runway,
oh, that famous one with the hair,
the satin pumps with the spike metal heel.
Oh,
which of course
god.
I wore, and I was, you know, there's like tears in it and shit. Oh, like because god. I got back, and I was just like,
yeah, look at my moogler.
So now they're just kind of up, and I have them like
get a shadow box. You know?
Literally,
I need a shadow box.
I'm like, we'll find one at the flea market. I'll look my eyes out. That is insane. Because I remember I got to meet him before he passed, and I almost didn't go to that exhibition opening.
Oh my gosh.
I was so close to not going to that. I was like, it's in Montreal and I have to fly myself. And then
I'm so glad you did.
Thank God I did.
Yeah.
I got to meet Terry Mugler and get a photo with him and got dressed by him and everything before he passed. And like, I got to reconnect with Candace. I met Kim K that night. It was like, I met Mr. Pearl that night. It was
major.
I had no idea you got to have that experience with him, though.
So insane. I know. We've known each other forever.
Because he'd go out in New York, and he loved Connie Girl.
And Suzanne Bush.
Joey Arias was his muse. So she was always in his clothes.
Oh, my God.
She smelled like you could tell Angel was coming. Like, girl.
We gotta get Joey on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. You have to have Joey.
Yeah. We've done a few gigs together before, and I... Heave laughing.
Oh my god. What a person. What a human.
Truly.
What a person.
Like, I am obsessed with Joey.
Love. Well, because we have a similar aesthetic as well. So I'm like, I feel like she's sort of my like
you guys
mother
are
in
the
way.
Same Broadway show.
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Totally.
Wow. You've really turned it out, honey.
No, I'm like, I need to do more stuff. I'm like, it's fine. Like, I gotta get out there and do more stuff. I gotta dance.
Yeah, for real. Yep.
Gotta dance.
Yeah, maybe we can reenact our Drag Race choreo.
And Garden. Please, I need to see that. My family is like very, they like love me so much, but they just like don't understand like the transness of it all at all. They just never even had the vocabulary for it. Like growing up, I never even like heard gay. It was not even a thing. Yeah. So trans, see you later. So they're trying to wrap their heads around. And then the first time they ever kind of even were starting to get it was the I Am Kate show that you were on.
Okay, yes.
Yes, and they like loved Caitlyn Pryor on the Olympics and were into it. And then I think like seeing a like more Republican person portray that, they were like down to listen or something, which is, side note, like rude.
That's
But it is. So they were like, oh, I can relate.
Different perspectives.
We are the same, like we understand or whatever. So they were like watching it and listening for the first time. And then I remember seeing you on it. And I remember all the rumors that Candace Kane was dating Caitlyn Jenner.
God, it's so crazy.
Do you remember? Everyone, it was like the internet was like, they're dating. It was crazy.
Well, and of course, Caitlyn was just going with it.
Yes, of
you
course.
Know, kissing me on, in one episode. And I'm like, okay, whoa. Yeah.
Wait, so that wasn't real? You weren't dating?
No.
Oh my God. Breaking news. I thought there was at least some. People say we're dating.
Yeah, but.
And we might be.
Yeah, we might. You know, I always say, girl, we have
we
joint bank accounts.
We did get a little
like,
house together.
Yeah, we're one.
No, I'm literally like
we're
the,
one
the
like,
attic,
scheduled
I'm like,
party.
You're painted. This is your room, bitch.
Yeah, we're one like party away from being fully married. You just need the party and it's done.
And the little piece of paper.
Yeah.
I just think they wanted to put Caitlyn in some sort of box. And of course, I was this, you know, tall, blonde, sexy woman by her side. And so then it was like, oh, you know. But,
the narrative made sense to the producer.
Exactly. Right. Well, and the media more.
Oh, right.
You know what
they
I mean?
They pushed that.
Yeah. No, I mean, Caitlyn, it's a whole thing. We had such an amazing time. The first season was really incredible. Mm-hmm. Going to New York City, you know, and my parents coming along and going to American in Paris and then walking out of American in Paris And suddenly everybody in Times Square knew Caitlin was there. It was right before anybody got a real picture of her.
Oh, wow.
And so, and all of Times Square was turned on us. The bleachers.
Wow.
All the way across the square.
Surreal.
Were staring. It was the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And oh. Caitlin walked and it was like, I mean, it must be like the Met Gala or whatever, yeah, but yeah. like, even a more lot of a real frenzy. Life. Yeah. yeah, real life.
The Beatles of
exactly.
Caitlin,
yeah, like that yeah it was energy. So crazy. And my parents were there. I was like, come on, Mom and Dad, we're going to the car.
Oh, they were there.
And they were there. They
my
were
experiencing.
It was so crazy.
That's insane.
It was insane. But then, unfortunately for the show and for Caitlin, there was the election going on that year. When we did season, we did up a season two. And so we were on a bus, it was Hillary versus Trump. And we were just at each other's throats because there was six trans women and five of them were liberal Democrats. And one was watching Fox News every single day.
Oh my gosh.
So she kind of became a part of the cult, you know, mm-hmm. because there's that cult mentality that Fox News people have.
It's my father's in it.
My parents are in that too. I'm mm-hmm. like, you, I can hear the lingo.
I mean, I have conservative friends and I've debated with conservative Republican friends, but starting then it was a new level. It right. was that MAGA level that like.
Yeah. Intense. The tense, it was really new. I've never politically seen anything like
anything
that.
Anything like it. And of course, we all thought Hillary was going to win, and we were devastated.
Oh my
gagged.
God! I couldn't believe it
either.
I was like the Apprentice guy.
Yeah, I was like,
I was like,
it's a
joke.
I think I was more depressed for my parents because, and my mother could feel her soul hurting when that happened because it was like, we're finally going to have a female president. Finally,
right? Representation matters.
I don't think
matters.
People realize. How much
impact.
Better this world would be if every
Look
leader
at New Zealand.
Was female. Yeah. I don't, I mean, there's so much misogyny and so, and just,
you
Russia
can see it
and all
now.
These things
you
that were
it.
Just
look,
like
look what we're
stacked
experiencing.
Up. I know.
It's like these men's egos.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Crazy. And then it affects the entire world.
It really
and
does.
We all have to deal with it. And
yeah.
It's out of control.
So yeah, after that, I mean, Caitlin and I, you know, it was just kind of hard. It was just sad because that show really did change. It put the word trans on the lips of the world.
Yeah,
really.
People who had never heard that word before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yes. It did good. I'm really proud of being on that right. show. I really am.
Absolutely. Well, it's like you were saying, your parents are like, finally, like, we're open to the idea of listening. And that's the thing is sometimes we are shouting into our own echo chamber. It's like
uh-huh.
we need yeah. to reach people that are not already following us and
yes.
new audiences to really, like, humanize these experiences.
I know. Right. And it's almost like somehow we have to, like, smartly guide people and not just, like, shut Caitlyn Jenner out and be like, this is wrong, like, da-da-da, and be like, okay, like, you're making my parents connect with you. Like, you
totally.
Know, it's like trans people can be every part of society. We can have
yeah.
Republican trans people. We can have Democratic trans people. We can have, we're just normal people.
It's
we
just
can
people.
Everything. So
it's
that
just
she's
people.
A Republican trans woman. You don't have to like hide her from society and shun her. It's just like my parents, like seeing Caitlin be a Republican, I think it opened their mind.
There are benefits.
So much more. As
totally.
Opposed to it was just like, she was just like full liberal, just out there making a new show. My parents would not have been the same. So it's like we kind of need those little steps.
That's
stones
a good way
a
of looking. I never
but,
thought of it like
but
that.
But Republican is not Republican anymore.
Right.
It's MAGA. It's a cult
right.
now.
Yeah.
So yes, your parents are Republican, right. and you have like they're learning and they're understanding, and you can have debates with about taxes and
right.
immigration.
And
but this is like
human rights.
It's human rights,
which
is
yeah.
like
yeah.
you can't.
Can we just get to the human rights part of it, and then we
say.
Can talk about the taxes?
Yeah, we'll
like,
get into like little debates about certain like. Small business thing or like whatever
yeah.
and I'm like I have to stop and be like we cannot even talk about anything that anything
I have to
has
tell
to
my
do
dad
without,
that too I'm
about,
like
yeah
let's just tackle human
until
rights
until we're all equal
yeah
because it's about human rights at this point it's
yeah.
not
yeah.
about like military spending babe it's about
but they don't
I'm
they don't
live.
Have to deal with that aspect of it so they don't give a fuck
right.
and that's the
right.
whole point and they don't even see it my dad I'm like dad these people would literally have me burned at the stake.
Yeah.
And you don't even, that's not even a thought that crosses your head. Because you're talking about, you're thinking about military spending and taxes. Like,
yeah.
Because you don't have to worry about this kind of shit.
No, it's true. It kind of breaks my heart because I love Caitlin and I have such a fun time with her when that's not happening.
Not on the table.
That's not on the table, but she really makes it on the table.
Well, yeah.
And also, she brings it up and talks about it. So I just kind of like... Girl, you do you. I'm going to do me.
You have to.
And she'll talk about it in, like, she knows, like, the clickbaity ways. Like, she'll be like, here we go. Because, like, no trans people in sports. Like, she'll be like, knows how to hit it. And I'm like, whoa, Gorge. Like,
just relax. Don't do it. Yeah. I just had to break away.
Yeah, which for the better.
It's for the better.
For the better, for sure.
My hope is that the world, especially this year, sees something to come together a little bit and just really get back on the track that we were going.
I know. Before. I think so too.
Let's hope. What can we do to make, like, I'm like, do
I
we
mean,
do
I
our,
think it's like what we
do
were
Do we
saying.
Launch a foundation, Candace? Yeah. Like, what do we do? Like, let's get us back on the right track.
I mean, I always think
we were really doing great there for a minute.
People always are like, how is it? I'm just like one person or whatever, but it's like tale as old as time. It's like, just takes us keeping on and just keeping up what we're doing and keep like fighting
taking
and just being us.
And,
yeah, taking up space.
Yeah.
And being proud of who we are, me saying that after having a breakdown like literally this morning, being like, just be you. Like, shut up. Crazy, but it's true. Just taking up space because we're not going anywhere.
Well, it's hard, but we have to be resilient. That's the takeaway that I always have to come back to. It's the resilience.
I always say, like, I own as much of this world as you do.
Yes.
The space.
It's just as much for me as it
is
for you.
And that goes
Octavia
for every single person. Yes, honey. Does she say that?
She does say that.
Oh my God.
Does she say that?
Yeah, she was like, this world was made for me too, honey. She has a really famous video.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her. And I'm so sick and tired of people thinking that it's not that way.
Yeah.
And we have to live our lives like...
fighting.
Well, not only fighting, but like never cowering or never second guessing who we are.
Yeah. It's a strength.
It is a strength.
That you have to... constantly be tapping into.
And I see a lot in Black women.
Yes.
Because they've had to fucking deal with this bullshit for so long.
So many Black trans women, it's like,
and Black
so
trans
many
women.
Layers of of different types of resilience that you have to constantly be tapping into.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's inspiring.
It's inspiring. Never apologize for who you are.
Yeah.
Never. Well, cheers.
Just apologize for things that you do that are wrong.
Well, I'm working on that part too.
But I love you guys so much.
Yeah, we love you so much.
We
love
you.
Therapy session today
for this episode.
I'm so happy you asked me to be a part of it.
I know, and thank you so much for being here and just being so you and so happy and just a light in this world.
And thank you for being a trailblazer.
Yeah,
and for fighting and being resilient and all of those things we just talked about. I mean, you're a prime example of all of those things. And
I think it's safe to say, like, the community at whole would not be the same without Candace Kane in it, honey.
Oh
so
my God.
Thank you for being here and fighting the way you did. We love you.
I love you too.
Thank you, Candace, for being here.
This was a gorgeous episode of No Gorge.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for our guest, Candace Kane.
Yes.
And thank you guys out there for watching this episode of No Gorge.
Yes.
We'll
Bye,
see
Gorge.
You next week. Mwah.
No Gorge.